on track this coming weekend. Colin, are you expecting any like, it was kind of crazy because of what happened with Lewis Hamilton and Max in the last race. Do you think there'll be any carryover other than hype, but once they're on the track, it's going to be a non-issue?
100%. I mean, there's definitely going to be a lot more posturing, a lot more grandstanding, a lot more of this, you know, rhetoric, you know, between, you know, Christian Horner, the Red Bull camp, and the Mercedes camp. But, you know, in the last hour or two, the result finally came down of Red Bull's challenge, and they were pretty stoutly defeated. So there won't be, like, the stewards' requirement was, and Red Bull's protest, you know, had to be based on new, credible, or previously unavailable evidence. And, you know, the short version, you know, the stewards are always fairly impartial, as is Mercedes, in generally in their public commenting. And, you know, the final line in the stewards' review says that the stewards note with some concern certain allegations made in the competitors above letter, or they have concern with some of the allegations made. Such allegations may not have been relevant to the stewards if the petition for review had been granted. So, like, to take a position that's that aggressive, you know, where they basically need to say, you know, no, we don't find grounds. The fact that they go to the point of saying that there's concern is very telling. Mercedes also came out with a counter statement. You know, once the appeal was declined, and this is the strong, I mean, these are all fairly innocuous if they're taken individually. The Mercedes again is fairly passive, but they used a really interesting expression, or, you know, really interesting language, saying that that this was a concerted attempt by senior management of Red Bull to tarnish the good name and sporting integrity of Lewis Hamilton, including the documents submitted for their unsuccessful writer review. Like, for Mercedes, that's way over the top. And now this is kind of the flip side of what we talked about last week, is that if they proceeded with this challenge and it fails, like Red Bull's petition failed, they're really going to look bad. And now there's no way for them to come back from this other than to put a good product on track and go race.
Colin, you talk about this as was called more, in your words, more posturing on the track and between the teams. Like, what does that look like? How does that manifest itself?
These guys do this every week. Every race weekend, every race, they're saying something, they're doing something to create doubt in their competitors, or to you know, hype up their own team to make it look, you know, to get people to side with them, or you know, to kind of see their point of view. You know, Christian Horner, the team principal at Red Bull, has been fairly steadfast in his comments that they took exception to the fact that you know, based on the outcome of the crash and that Hamilton was still able to go on to win the race, that the penalty wasn't harsh enough. And the fact that they celebrated the win while Max was in the hospital, you know, they took a lot of, they took objection to that. You know, I don't know what the alternative would have been, but, you know, that's an example of the posturing. Every team does it to a certain extent, and every team is going to be, you know, positioning and posturing publicly as well as privately with the stewards and with everyone at the FIA. I think this particular situation got a little bit out of control.
Colin Livingston, Joe, yeah, definitely. I think I went a little bit overboard for sure. Now, the NASCAR Pinty Series is finally kicking off their season. There's a doubleheader coming up this weekend. There's some driver changes, but what are you expecting after such a, you know, long time off for Pinty Series?
First of all, like, just super excited to be able to get back to the track, and this year, and we're going to have fans in the stands, so that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot different than what we had last year. you know, I get to fly. I get to my first plane ride in, I think, 9 months. You know, so for me, I generally fly about 110, 120,000 miles a year. And to not be in an airport or on an airplane for that long is kind of crazy. So, yeah, to get back to the track this weekend, to work with Tag, to get back to our Pinty's family, it's going to be awesome. You know, lots of changes. I mean, a few drivers bouncing around. It looked like Andrew Ranger might miss, miss the season. He's going to be joining Rick Ware Racing. Rick Ware, they already field teams in IndyCar as well as the top levels of NASCAR. So, Ranger should be in good hands. And that's a relief for me because our Pinty series has a bit of a history of, a guy winning the championship and then not being in the series or not being, not racing the next year. I mean, the last time was Caden Lapcevich. You know, he won the title a couple of years ago and then, wasn't able to put a deal together to keep running. Rangers are last full season champion. Jason Hathaway won the abridged season last year. So it's just great that he's going to be out there. Alex Gannett's going to be joining the series this year. Alex was one of our replacement drivers when Tag had a medical situation, in 2019. He's a great kid. He's going to, add a lot to the series. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we've added a whole lot of Western content, so it's going to be pretty predominantly Quebec and a little bit of Ontario drivers. But, we get a doubleheader at Sunset on Sunday, and I think the first broadcast will be, I think I read August 8th, whatever the following weekend is. So we'll be able to start, broadcasting our races again.
Colin, with that shorter season last year, should we expect more rust, or some rusty races as people kind of get the feeling of the carts underneath them again as they hit the road?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, these guys are professionals. We've had, There have been a handful of tests that most of the teams have completed. We've done a couple oval tests, and Alex and a handful of other drivers were at iCar for a road car test earlier this week. They're going to be fine. What'll happen though is the teams that have managed to develop their program, are going to hit the track a whole lot more better prepared than some of the teams that have shorter budgets or just weren't able to get out to test. Or they weren't able to get out to develop, and they might find themselves a little bit behind. But no, I mean, drivers are drivers. Once the helmet goes on, you know what to do.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. And before we let you go, karting, of course, locally, you guys have had, it's been pretty big. You had it out at the Strathmore Motor Sports Park, and Were you like maxed? Yeah, I heard you got ran off the track. What happened?
I wish I knew. Just unfortunate that again, when we put our helmets on, one thing happens that we always know what to do, but at the same time, some people put their helmets on and the brain gets switched off. For the first time in my karting career and my racing career, I was involved in a pretty hard hit. Without mentioning the other driver, just flat didn't stop in enough time as we came to a fairly hard corner and just drove over top of me. Hit like launched off my back bumper, drove up into my shoulder, and then ended up kind of pinching my hand between their front bumper and my steering wheel, which led to a fair bit of damage. Hurt like hell. My hand is still not even close to right. And what makes it what bothers me the most about stuff like that is when I came back to the pit, to the guy's credit, he kind of wanted to talk about it, and talk was the last thing that I wanted to do. And I won't repeat the exact verbiage that I used, but basically said that right now is not a good time to talk. And if I actually had to repeat what I actually said, I would be promptly escorted off the radio in perpetuity. But he wanted to keep talking and just kind of escalated the situation by saying, like, well, our tires touched. And in go-karts or any kind of open wheels, if tires touch, bad things happen. Like, both carts go in the air, and, you know, kind of pointed out, like, no, you hit me in the back bumper, like, dead center in my bumper, climbed over top of me. And, like, it wasn't even close to, you know, like, it wasn't close to, like, incidental contact. It was, you know, it was just really, really bad. And
so did you file an appeal, like Red Bull, or what happens here? What happens to Ricardo?
I've got 14 days to go before the steward. So we're going to amass our information, and we're going to try and present. Well, you know, if you want to compare the situation, the offending driver didn't receive any penalty at all. So, at the very least, he should have got a 20-second penalty for deploying his pushback bumper. But no, he was able to continue on, went back into the final, you know, and I was left to lick my wounds and, question some of my life's decisions as to whether or not I want to keep doing this. But,
do you guys have penalties in karting?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, okay. if you jump starts, if you the bumper on our carts now has a device on it that the bumper sticks a little bit proud off of the frame rails, that if you make a certain level of contact and the bumper gets pushed in, you can't push it back out and it tends to hang. And, that results in a penalty. If you come into the scales afterwards, and your bumper's deployed, that's a penalty. If you're underweight, that's a penalty. If you make incidental contact, that can be a penalty depending on how the race director sees it. There's actually quite a few things that can result in penalties, and they're either, time penalties, exclusion penalties, disqualification, up to serious penalties that, result in like suspensions or permanent bans.
Colin, always good to catch up with you. We will talk to you next week. Lots more racing to discuss. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.